Welcome to Joe Olivier Unplugged, where we talk everything fitness business. I'm your host, Joe Olivier. Today we do have a special guest in the house. We have Joe Dean Bryson, and he'll be talking and sharing with us everything mindset. As fitness professionals and entrepreneurs, we focus a lot on our business and our physique and making sure it looks good, but many times we neglect our mind, our mindset, which is something that can make us fail or makes us successful. So today, Joe will be sharing with us some tips and strategies that we could apply in our personal life and both in our professional life as well. So welcome to the show, Joe Dean Bryson.
Firstly, just wanted to say thank you for having me on the podcast. A bit about myself and my background. So I've been into self-improvement for as long as I can remember. So growing up, I spent a lot of time on my own, developing discipline mainly. So I used to play outside a lot with a football, and I'd always challenge myself to keep improving and to keep growing and setting targets. I was kind of the kid where there wasn't really many other kids where I was living, so I had to find my own entertainment, and the way of doing that was developing self-discipline, and that's been like a theme in my life since I've been very young kid. I took that kind of self-discipline with me whilst I was kind of learning how to do certain things that I was interested in. So for example, coaching, so I was interested in coaching and helping people. Started coaching as young as the age of 11 or 12, coaching the younger kids, like 7, 8-year-olds, how to kick a ball properly and all of that sort of stuff. And that led me to become the highest qualified football coach, soccer coach at my college. Education was always very important for me. I really enjoyed the coaching element of soccer and teaching people how to do that, and also enjoyed education and brought them two together when I went to university to do a degree in sports coaching at Birmingham, which is in the Midlands of the UK, for those of you that don't know. I also went on to do a master's degree in sports psychology at Loughborough University. Although my coaching degree was, mainly had a lot of different areas of interest and topic, psychology was the area that I was always most interested in. Also did an A-level psychology at college as well. So I had quite a lot of experience with mindset as well. Both my parents are in mental health, worked in mental health as well. I went to do a master's in sports psychology to learn more about, the way that, how performers approach, their performance and how, different strategies that we can use as human beings to improve our performance. After doing my master's in sports psychology, I decided that I wanted to start my own consulting business. So I worked predominantly in sport, working with athletes and sports coaches. Quickly realized that environment, like the people that I was working with, wasn't necessarily something that I could see working long term, just because of how difficult it was to get clients. To be honest, a lot of athletes and coaches already have access to sports psychology services, through the club that they're working, they're at, if they're in an elite environment. And if they're not at the elite level, they often generally don't have the access, the money to do it. A lot of them are working on scholarships and stuff and don't have that much money. So quickly transferred to be working with entrepreneurs and business owners. At that sort of time, I broke my leg and I was getting into fitness, and because I was rehabbing to get myself back into playing soccer. But long story short, I fell in love with fitness and improving my physique and getting stronger in the gym, and developing mind-muscle connection, which is something I talk about a lot. On my path, I've collected everything really together that involves coaching and teaching people, which I've always done, working a lot on mindset, and combining my passion for fitness. That's pretty much where we're at the moment.
I like that, because there's not much people that I know that understand the importance of mindset. We take it for granted. We think we need to get the certifications and everything else, but we fail to realize success starts in the mind. So I like to see that there's other people out there that have a passion for it and actually study the science part of it, and in return could help others like myself and other fitness professional understand the key importance of mindset. So as you dive in and you now, as you are doing your thing, helping a lot of fitness professionals around the world and in your area and your neck of the woods, what tip I should say you wish you had, you wish somebody to tell you or maybe encourage you to do before you get started in your field, I should say.
So I think looking back, probably the thing that I lacked was an understanding of really who I was in a bigger, deeper sort of level. I'd say that any business really moving forward has to be coming from a place of fulfillment. So I know that a lot of fitness coaches already have fitness as a central part of their life. So their business is only really an extension of their identity and who they are already. So I think for a lot of fitness professionals, it's quite an easy step to understand, who you are. But at that particular point in my life, I didn't really have a very good understanding as to who I was. Even though I thought that I was very self-aware, often the more aware we become, the more aware we become of the stuff that we don't know. So I'd say to ensure that you're coming from a place of clarity, and also I'd say the most central thing for me in my life, whether it's business or anything else, is enjoyment. So making sure that you enjoy your business. If you see your business as being a chore, then you're probably not going to enjoy it very much. You're not going to take yourself to the next level in terms of growth and really leading. So I'd say clarity and enjoyment would probably be the two things I think are most important.
I agree. I 100% agree. Because I myself was in that position many moons ago, that I feel like I wasn't enjoying what I did do again. I was feeling burnt out. I was working too much hours. Before I started work, a lot of hours, I had a lot of split shift and I had a lot of idle time. I was getting frustrated. When I started to get a lot of clients, I was more frustrated because I was being burned out. And then I didn't like it. I should ask, could you share some different tips or strategies that could could benefit at least, I should say, the audience that's listening, especially in a time like this, what different tips or strategies could they implement to have a clear mindset or to overcome this situation we are dealing with right now, which is the quarantine? Because quarantine could actually affect the mind, you know. They do it in the jail system. When you're disobeying more, they put you in a different quarantine, you know, and it plays with your head. Mm-hmm. So there is right now, especially in like New York City and stuff, where everybody's inside, people is getting frustrated, restless, anger is being developed, and all this different emotion is happening. So what strategy, tips, or things you think that a fitness professional could use right now, especially in this time, to help them in their personal growth and also help them with their business as well?
Mm-hmm. So I would say the most important thing right now is mindfulness. The most important thing to be practicing. As we're all in a situation where it's difficult, we're, you know, stuck in the same environment a lot of the time. I don't know what situation your listeners are in, but I'm in an apartment. I can't really leave my apartment unless I can go to get for food, and that's about it. So I can't go outside and exercise or anything. So I'm pretty much confined to my apartment all day. And I think that a lot of the time we can compartmentalize by changing our environment based upon the thing that we are wanting to do. So obviously if we're sleeping, we're in our bedroom. If we're working, then we might be in a study. If we're going to work out, then it might be in a gym. And that's the way that I often operate. So it can be very difficult when you're confined to one environment to get a lot of things done. And that's when it's really vital to start using mindfulness. So to really consider what you're doing in the moment rather than having your mind constantly thinking about the next thing. So when you're eating, be conscious of your eating. Like, sounds silly, but I've always done this because I grew up in an environment where meal times were extremely stressful. And I didn't really feel like contributing or talking much because it was sort of quite critical. There's quite a lot of criticism. So I used to just focus in on my food and the taste of the food and just really try and get as much enjoyment as possible. I know nowadays a lot of people have their food in front of the TV and in front of their phones and laptops and whatever. But I think it's really important to get into the practice of being mindful. So mindful eating, like mindful business work as well. So when you're doing you have an activity in your business that you're doing, try to be fully focused on that and turn off your phone or take away your phone as a distraction. Try to limit distractions working on your laptop and try to shut down the browser so that you've got that one thing that you're working on. So I think that mindfulness is really important, as well as being mindful in terms of where your thoughts are going and the stuff, the information that you're feeding to your brain at this time as well, because it can be very easy to be drawn into worrying too much about what's going on in the world, the corona. But I think the important thing to remember is that we don't have control of any of that. We don't have control of what the media is choosing to even tell us. And that's often the mistake that we make, is in looking for too many answers in stuff that actually we don't have any control of regardless. So I'd say mindfulness in a general way of as many different things as we can be mindful of.
See,
possible,
one thing
basically.
That I think could be a good takeaway for me, day in the mindfulness, is what you're feeding your mind with. You know, especially with this time, the coronavirus, you're hearing so much people is getting affected. The whole world is locked down, not just in your neighborhood, but in every corner of the world. It could get to you if you, a situation could either make you or break you. And most of the time it breaks people. So the more you feed, you know, my grandma used to always say, negativity begets negativity. So if you continue feeding yourself with negative thoughts and negative things, you start to become negative, and those negativity could even produce depression and anxiety and stuff like that. And that's no good, I think, for your business, neither for yourself, you know. So that's one of my takeaway from what you just said, is what you feed your mind with, you know. I view your mind like a garden. And regardless of what you do, something will grow in it, you know, either the weeds or something you plant. So if you choose to, like, especially in a time like this, is to plant good seeds, you know, good thoughts, read good books or listen good motivational stuff, something to encourage you and motivate you in a time like this. And if you plant good plant, all you'll get is good things, you know, and that's how I look at it at the same time. So may I ask now, you're talking about mindfulness and stuff like that. So with fitness professionals now, you know, most of the gyms around the world is closed. New York City is closed. And I don't think, a lot of fitness professionals think they are stuck, they fail, they crush. But I don't think so. I look at this as an opportunity. And you as an expert with mindset, I think most fitness professionals think they fail, right? And I think it's all to deal with the mind. So why, I should say, what do you think is the number one reason why fitness professionals and gym owners fail? Because I really believe it's in the mind.
I'd say lack of creativity is probably the main reason. There's a lot of, especially for personal trainers and fitness coaches, a lot of them go on to own their own gym, and they're constantly in an environment where they have to compete with other fitness coaches and other personal trainers, and it's very easy to look outside of yourself for the answers of how to do stuff. And I think fitness in general can be quite an environment where people compare themselves to other people a lot anyway. And that lack of sort of self-awareness and understanding of to your own strengths and your own weaknesses is a huge thing when it comes to business. If you look at any successful business owner, they've created something that's completely unique to them, that's authentic, and that's the reason why they're successful, because you can market your material to hit a particular audience, and then, you know, after that, it's just a case of whether that person sees value in what you're doing. And also you've got to have confidence in that. So lack of creativity, I would say, is the main thing, as well as lack of individuality as well. It's not just about how creative you're being in your business. It's also about how creative you are in yourself, and how willing you are to express your unique views of the world and your unique way of doing things and your experiences and your story. All of those things make up who you are as an individual and make you unique and different. So stepping into your individuality and being more creative, I think, would be the key things.
Man, I am just saying, I agree, because I could see myself back then when I first started out, and yesterday I actually was getting rid of one of my old equipment I had. It's like really old. I had it for like, I don't know, 18 years, which is crazy. But I got that when I first. When I first started fitness and I was young, I was in my teens, and I wanted to be different because everybody was doing the same thing. So I'm asking myself, what could I do to set myself apart from all the other fitness trainers in New York City at that time? And I think I said, okay, I could offer a parallel service that could complement what I'm doing. So I found a company that was, they had a device called the Body Gym at that time, and it was like reading someone's resting metabolic rate. So it's a device they put in their mouth, and they don't eat no food for like 4 hours before they do the test, and it give them a reading of how much calories their body burns at rest. And that by itself, although it sounds really foolish now, but back then it was like a wow factor. And that was one of the things that I used, when I first started to separate myself, and I took that same principle all through my life, is trying to be different from the others. You see it now on the internet, especially, either it be personal training, or it could be group training, or it could be business gurus who teaching fitness experts how to expand. They're all singing the same song, the same tempo, the same everything. So yeah, I think yes, being creative and trying to look within and think how you could serve your audience much better. And I think if you just sit down and brainstorm by yourself or with collective mind, you could come up with ideas that could be cutting edge or top of the spear. And I think that is that what you say, creativity is. It resonated with me, and also when you talk about to me, being creative is good because you don't want to be a, how to put it? I think first of all, I think one good thing you could look into before you might say you don't have a creative bone in your body, but I think if someone first think about who they want to serve, and instead of being a generalist, try to be more specific or specialize in a certain area of expertise. Yes, you're not being creative, but you're not cutting us. You now becoming known as an expert in that area, and then as a good step towards thinking about creativity, and that's how I look at it. For people who think they're not creative, if they specialize, they cut out a niche, and then when they don't cut out that niche, they go on cut it down a little further down and say, okay, I'm into weight loss, for example. I'm dealing with it, right? So they're in the weight loss niche. Now they could cut it down a little smaller and say, you know what? I myself struggle with weight when I was young, so I'll deal with woman over 40 who's divorced, like myself, for example. So now you specializing so much that you will start to become creative because you start to look within and say, you know what, this is what I did for me and this could help them. And you might start to get into that juice. That juice might start to flow. So I like that idea of being creative. Also, what I like when you talk about is individuality and expressing one's views. That all ties into creativity, but I think trauma could be an issue. Past trauma could be an issue. It could be blocking them and clogging them from exploding and being creative. And I think it could also lead into self-sabotage, where you doubt yourself, you don't believe in yourself as much, either your parents, your friends, peer pressure around you, society create these trauma that it might be hindering your success. So what I should say, how could someone now overcome these traumas and these past these phobias, because they have phobias, they have fear, they're not realizing they have fear. How could they get over these stuff and so they could get that breakthrough so they could become successful?
So I think a lot of it comes down to the story that we're telling ourselves about who we are. And obviously, if you've gone through trauma, which I have, had quite a difficult childhood and stuff like that. So it can be very easy to fall into the trap of believing that is your identity. And who you are as a person. So I think firstly to look at how you can start growing as an individual, how you can start changing that narrative, the narrative that you're telling yourself about who you are and who you can be. So fitness was extremely important for me in that process, because I never really believed myself as being someone who was strong and powerful. I was always a very sensitive guy, and I felt I was made to feel like that made me weaker than other guys. And through changing my physique and lifting heavier, growing obviously physically as well, that helped me to change the way that I was viewing and perceiving myself, and so that made me start to question some of the beliefs I have about myself and the trauma that I went through and stuff. So I'd say trying to find something externally that helps you to change your perspective, change your perception of the way you see yourself on the inside. But again, I think it comes down to emotional awareness. So if we avoid anything that reminds us of our trauma, then we don't really grow as individuals. So we need to keep trying to do difficult things. And when tough feelings come up, so it might be fear, it might be shame, it might be anger. Like when those negative feelings start to come up, we need to, instead of pushing them away like we often do, especially men, we have to kind of sit within those feelings and understand them, and understand where they're coming from. Because that normally leads us back to the original trauma, to the core, and then we can start to challenge things from the inside out. So yeah, that's how I've gone about it in my life, and it's proved to be really beneficial. So that would be my advice.
Yeah, you talk about emotional awareness, and to me, and you talk about a couple of things that I like that emotional awareness and creating a new narrative. You know that for somebody who listening, it might sound easy, but to them in their head it still sound hard. So how long would it take them to really implement this new strategy, this new tip that you just shared? How long it takes? I don't know. Tell me, because I don't know personally.
It's very difficult to put a time frame on these things, because it depends on the self-awareness of the individual. If they've already done a lot of personal development, then it's probably likely to take less long. The sensitivity of the individual, so you know how triggered they feel in general about certain different things, their mental health, whether they're, you know, in if they're depressed, then it's going to take longer. Obviously, if they're, you know, have a good routine going, good mindset in general, then it would take a short amount of time. So it can be phenomenal how quickly someone can change, like their just the way that they're showing up and who they're being, just through doing like the things that I've talked about. If they're in a part of their life where they're just ready to change.
Yeah, man. Again, I really like creating this narrative because I was thinking about myself, and when I was small, growing up in East New York, Brooklyn, a really tough neighborhood. You know, either you'd be bullied or you stand up to fight, you know, and many times I got threatened and was afraid, and I see guns and shooting and those stuff traumatized me, and I'm saying to myself, but the thing is about me, I was very analytical as a kid, and those traumas that I got, yes, it affected me and it made me who I am, you know, sometimes in the negative and the positive. But on many occasions, I will sit down with myself and analyze the feeling, the new feeling I felt when I got that trauma. And I'll ask myself, how could I overcome this feeling? And many times, I'm talking about maybe over 90% of the times, I run into that fear, that trauma. So I was afraid of, again, being shot or afraid of being bullied or kicked or being jumped and beaten. So what I did is I joined a martial arts school at age eight, you know, and I learned martial arts for 20 something years, you know, and that gave me the confidence to walk the street without fear for that trauma that I had, you know. And when people say, oh, you're a loser, you're good for nothing, you're from the hood, you'll never become anything, I took that feeling because it was really traumatizing. I said, would it really be true? I took it and analyzed it and asked myself, how could I overcome this feeling? And I had, at that young age, I had no like mentors or anybody to look up to. So I said, okay, you know what I'll do? I will go to college. So at that time, I think college was a place to kind of show people that I did it, you know, and I was doing these external things to show that I wouldn't become that statistics that you're telling me, or I wouldn't be bullied or whatever the feeling might be at the time. And most of the time I run into the fear. That's how I felt. You know, I said, okay, I was afraid of flying. I studied to be a pilot, you know, crazy stuff. You know? So yes, I like that when you say create a different narrative, and whatever you want to do, you say, okay, this is it. And you draw the story in your mind and see it and believe it, and sooner or later you'll believe that lie, and that lie will become your reality. I'm just talking from my experience, you know. My lies became my reality. Wanted to start a business, you know, I said I want to do this. I didn't know how to do it, and I just kind of create again a new narrative in my head, and I pursue that every single day till I did it. So I like that. I hope the audience gets something from that. So I may ask, is there anything else you would like to, or like tips or juicy tips or secrets that you would like to share with the audience before we wrap up this podcast today?
I would say the importance of routine, often neglected, I think, is kind of installing routines into our daily life, daily habits. So one of those routines for me is obviously training. When I wasn't in lockdown, I'd be going to the gym pretty much every day. It's not always recommended to go to the gym every day, but I think it's important to get moving every single day, even if you're not necessarily going to the gym. But obviously now I'm in lockdown, so I wake up, I train straight away, and then I jump into a freezing cold shower. And I used to do this. I took a bit of a break off doing it, but I'm back to it now, and you know, it's really helping me. I think it's symbolic in a way for me. I see it as being very symbolic, like a daily ritual, because it reminds me that I'm powerful. And it reminds me that the pain is kind of part of the process. And I don't know, I think because a lot of people are afraid of going, putting themselves into painful situations, it kind of reminds me that I'm significant as well. So yeah, I'd say routines are important, as well as obviously a bedtime routine as well. Is my morning, I have to kind of force myself into a position where I'm focused, because like if I wake up, sometimes I wake up, I don't really want to get out of bed. I feel a bit like a bit down, a bit depressed. And if I allow myself to just kind of ride into the day, then I don't end up getting a lot done. So I do have to kind of be quite brutal on myself. I have to train, which obviously most people don't want to do first thing. Jump into a cold shower, and then I'm done. I'm ready, like I'm alert. And then in the evening, my mind, it takes a while for my mind to settle down, because I'm overthinking all the time. I'm very self-aware, so I find it quite difficult to switch off. So that's when I implement self-care routines, like I'll have a nice hot bath, have a nice soak. I'll try to stay off social media as much as I can, and put on a movie or listen to an audio book, or just do something that's going to like take my mind off things, and you know, remind me that I'm in the present, if that makes sense.
Is there any way that someone could reach out or get in contact with you?
So at the moment I'm building a community on Facebook, which is purely for fitness trainers and personal trainers. So I'd say that's would be the best place to go. Obviously add me as a friend on Facebook as well. It's the main platform that I'm active on. I will be putting out put a lot of free value out there anyway, like lots of videos and PDFs and stuff like that. So
Joe, it was a pleasure having you on this podcast this week. Thank you for sharing all these worlds of knowledge and information on mindset, and I hope the listeners really could now take this little tidbit and apply it in their life and their business, especially in a time like this. Thank you all for listening. Until next time, peace and success in your fitness business.